You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
To you, happy birthday. To you, happy birthday. Mr. President, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Christopher.
As the old saying goes, turnabout's fair play, right? I usually sing my Maryland version to others, so Maryland got to sing happy birthday to me. So thank you, Matt. Thank you, Maryland. Appreciate it. Love your card you got for me today to do. Beautiful.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Yep, 12-5. It's Christy Simone's birthday. Nature gifted me with a beautiful foggy morning. The fog's real. I saw Aaron Christensen getting all crazy about it. I wasn't sure.
Really?
You know, and then here it is. It's Oral Valley was like pea soup, dude. Yeah. And actually, it's pretty foggy down here, too. Mm-hmm. So it was
patchy as I drove in from the east side.
I want to thank the Lord for making Tucson look as beautiful as it can. Enveloping it with the velvet fog. Just beautiful. Just beautiful. Like just tiptoeing in on little fentanyl zombie feet, the fog. Just beautiful.
Yeah, so. Well, went really slow coming in because you never know who's going to be wandering out into the street.
Oh, here. I did too. I mean, so there's a gauntlet between I-10 and the studio.
Yeah.
Okay, and I love my center for opportunity, but there's a lot of those folks that who jaywalk all the time.
Yeah.
Like when I see Lisa from Gospel Rescue tomorrow, she's going to be on at 6:45 tomorrow. Off air, I'm going to say, I think you guys need like a crosswalk there, like a real one, or a bridge.
I think there's definitely a marked crosswalk, and I think, don't they have a hawk light that they can press and walk there, across there?
No one's using it.
So that's you the need other to problem. Have a crosswalk, comma, that people also use.
Yeah, we need like the wildlife crossings where they fence it in so it forces the animals to use the wild crop. We got to do that with
our. We got a set of drawings from the one on Oracle. You know, at least that, you know, we can do it as a marginal project.
I mean, we know they're already walking underground. Right. Can they take the wash across under the street?
It was foggy out on. Saturday night as well.
Yeah, you can see that.
Yeah, we encountered some fog. It reminded me of the famous airplane scene with Stephen Stuckey, where he said the controller said the fog's getting thicker, and he jumps in and says, "And Leon's getting larger."
we were at a Christmas get together at Skyline Country Club on Saturday. I hadn't been there in
wow.
I haven't been there in years.
Beluga?
So let's just say this. The view was amazing, right? Especially with the rain and the fog and the clouds. The view off of Skyline Country Club was amazing. The appetizer boards that they put out were great. And then they did a buffet, and I would say 96% of the buffet was pretty inedible. And there was four different entrees. So the highlights were the chicken tortilla soup and the fresh whipped cream that you were supposed to put on your defrosted cheesecake slice for dessert. So, missed it by that much. But in more important news, the Wakeys had a hell of a party.
No doubt.
On Friday night. I mean, we've had some throwdowns in our day for the holidays, but this one's up there. What an amazing... I hadn't been to Kay Bonita since she redid it after the fire and her sprinklers going off and all right. that jazz. Looked totally spectacular. Carmen and Chuck were amazing hosts for this party.
Yes.
So
that tree, when you walked in, was beautiful. What a lovely Christmas tree they have as you walk in the front door there.
It's about, what, I think about 12-footer?
Yeah. It's just fabulous.
And, of course, she decorates it with stuff that you can buy in the store. And... So she did a great job. She went all out. Tian and Kelly, our friends from Gap Ministries, were our bartenders for the night, pouring vino and Stella Artois and other things like that. Juan Almanza from El Taco Rustico put out a spread for us that was amazing. That was great. And then we had a very nice young man playing piano.
Just perfect.
I found that he was one of Carmen's employees' sons. Very talented kid.
Oh yeah,
I forgot
just
his name.
Set the perfect mood. Just playing
some nice versions of Christmas tunes. I called him Schroeder. Was my nickname. I didn't know what his real name was. I'm sure it was Dan or Steve or something like that. But I called him Schroeder. Felt very peanuts. He's playing some tunes. We'll bring him back for Beethoven's birthday later this month. But I did a cookie plate that had, I had to buy a couple of small, I didn't have enough time. But I had, there were two homemade things in the chocolate crinkles and those thin butter cookies were a D. Simone creation. Billy Beard, he's an approved baker. I don't hear from any of you guys. He made some great, I think there were chocolate chip cookies. And then I think Carmen went to La Estrella for mini empanadas and those Mexican wedding cakes. I mean, it was just a winner. People from all over the county came to this thing. We will make fun of DeFilippo because she spaced it. There were literally eight people who were like, where's Joanne? Where's Joanne? Because she said she was coming, right? And so I text her at like 6:30. She's like, oh my God, I'm in a conference call. So we'll make fun of her when she gets here next hour. But she's going to have her FOIA request on what was in or not in the ballot box. I feel like we need to do the line at the end of Seven. Remember, what's in the box? What's in the box? But overall, thanks to Carmen and Chuck and Juan Almanza and Cynthia did a great job on the food and Kelly. And also the Wakeys, you killed it again in your generosity. Killed it. We filled this big bowl full of gift cards and people bought presents also. And so Tian and the Gap Ministry people are overwhelmed by your generosity. I keep saying it. We're overwhelmed by your generosity. No matter what's going on in the world, you guys step up. We appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then just meeting a whole bunch of new listeners was amazing. And also then there's Tia Gloria groupies, which is always great. So Clarissa got to finally meet her for the first time. That was great. This nice lady named Susan goes, hey, I want to meet Tia Gloria, and I have a specific reason. I said, sure. So we find Gloria. This lady, I think her name's Susan. Forgive me if I'm messing that up. She's the lady that Tia Gloria called while making calls for Siskamani, and she heard her voice and said, are you Tia Gloria?
Nice.
So as Darth Vader said, now the circle is complete.
Speaking of whom, I think... Tia Gloria has a little something to say.
Is she going to sing like Marilyn Monroe?
I don't know.
Are you okay? What are you doing up so early?
I am here. I am here dying. You know. I just thought I'd do it, and then I set my alarm, and I can't figure out how to turn it off.
Hey, Matt, after the show, can you help Tia Gloria program her VCR? It keeps flashing 12.
Shut up. Christopher, this is Positive Monday for you.
Oh, no. Two elves at the same time. Miss Betsy.
Happy birthday, Christopher.
Thank you, ladies. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we met Positive Monday. We got champagne.
Wow.
And balloons. We crashed your party in the studio. It was crazy.
I remember you guys did that last year. This year, I don't see anything in here, but it's fine.
Wasn't last year. It was 2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago. Right? The last two years have been a blur.
it was the height of coronavirus, and there we are with champagne and everything else.
I remember. That's the
we're breaking the law with Margo. Yeah, it was great.
I'm still not sure how they were able to violate the Bustos Media Fortress and get in, but I guess questions are better left unanswered.
Wasn't there a curfew going on at that time?
It might have been a curfew. That's true. You guys were out and about before the sun came up. That was a problem.
Non-essential travel.
Teddy was driving with his head down on the steering wheel, looking both ways.
Oh my Lord!
I was yelling, "Got it, got it! We got to get there."
Well, that was an awesome moment, and thank you guys for the friendship over all these years. And I knew Betsy before radio, but look at the friendship I've developed with Gloria and Teddy through radio, and it's you guys have both been blessings in my life, so I appreciate it.
Well, they always say that, you know, your friends are the family that you pick, and so God has been good to all of us, and I want you to have a very happy birthday, Christopher.
Thank you, Miss Betsy. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. I wish we had a piñata in the shape of whoever you don't like the most today, and you could whack it all you wanted, but happy birthday.
I think a Joe Biden piñata would be great, just like the real Joe Biden. The piñata wouldn't know what's going on, so.
I guess. You wouldn't even feel it. Happy birthday, Chris.
Thank you, ladies. Love you guys.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Take care. All right, 6:17 in the morning. So we got Juan Siscomani's calling in from D.C. He's going to like 28 different orientations and stuff like that. So he's at the bottom of the hour. DeFilippo in the third hour. What's in the box?
The beluga orientation.
The beluga. And then Grant Kruger from Union Hospitality. He's got a billboard project that's not going to make Sun Devils happy, so he'll be in for that. Wake up. I just emailed you the list. So.
It's happening.
It's a
baby.
Mix. It's a mix. That's not all. It's got every. It's got Christmas standards, everything. So, it definitely got some ones that'll drive people nuts. It is Susan. I did get it right. She says thanks for the great party introducing to me to Tia Gloria. And yes, my name is Susan. Awesome. There you go. Welcome back to Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Juan Siscomani, his first call-in since after winning the election for Congress, so he'll be here. What else are we going to do today? Oh, there's so much stuff to cover. This is and then tomorrow, remember, our famous St. Nicholas show, we're going to have 10 different business owners from Tucson. They're going to explain the pain. So it's a whole Tucson crime-free explain the pain marathon right off the bat. The only person that won't be, she was already scheduled, but it fits in beautifully, is our friend Lisa from Gospel Rescue. So we got that going. So that's going to be an unbelievable show tomorrow. I'm looking forward to explaining the pain out there. Matt, we always love Florida man stories, right?
Amen.
Right.
You bet.
This is, we don't cover it enough. It's my fault. I apologize. Let me do the old mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa. All right. A 40-year-old Florida man was arrested Thursday as he tried to rob a Walmart in Osceola, Florida, during the Christmas Shop with a Cop Day.
Great moments in bad timing. So close.
They referred to the Osceola County Sheriff's referred to the suspect simply as, quote, Brad. Seriously, we can't make this up. Brad tried to steal from our good neighbors at Walmart in St. Cloud while we were conducting the Shop with a Cop event with the children of our community. Bad news, Brad. The store was filled with almost 40 deputies, plus our forensics team, community services team, the community service orchestras, and Sheriff Marcos R. Lopez. Bad idea. Fox 13 noted that Brad was stealing mostly perfume and gloves. Perfume and gloves. What is this, blue velvet? I mean, what the hell are we doing here? Yeesh. That was good.
Nice.
So this is a research product. This is, you know, not that it's going to, you know, a decent amount of pissing people off on his birthday, but I'll piss a few people off. But it really is a real question. All right. So rest in peace, Jim Colby. Passed away. Okay. Fine. Thank you for your service, as they say. But what I really want to know is, for 22 years in Congress, what did Jim Colby do? This is a real question. I asked it on the Wake Up discussion group. I still don't have an answer. Okay. I looked at his pieces of sponsored on the congress.gov. He only sponsored or co-sponsored, I think, 6 or 7 things that actually got passed in Congress. And it was all, let's usually designate a day. And then I saw in the star piece that someone said he's a prime architect of NAFTA. I don't see his name anywhere near NAFTA. So I'm not saying this is a dig on Jim. Is it the idea that 22 years in Congress, is it that broken that you basically got nothing done? Because I heard it all. Great constituent services, blah, blah, blah. He really was a Democrat in the end, right? But that might have reflected partially. I mean, he was a Republican who acted like a Democrat, right? Which might have reflected the district, right? But in the end, after Jim left service, he just should have become because he became a mild Kozachik after he retired, right? Which is everything's bad on the Republican Party, but I'm saying it as a Republican. And so, and the other thing too is about Jim is when bad things were going on in Tucson that were done by Democrats, he never said a word. So Jim, if you're going to use, anyway, you're dead. God bless you. Thank you for your service. But for 22 years, I can't tell what you actually did. I looked it up. I was just going, what did you do? And I can't tell that it's much. So, let's move on from there. Nicole Ludden did a very in-depth story on Tucson Crime Free Coalition. And now, Nicole, we're just going to say it's this is your baby step, as Dr. Leo Marvin would say, okay? Baby stepping to the elevator, baby stepping to the front door. No quotes from anyone from the city council or the county attorney's office. And that's something she's got. That I don't know if her Sith Lords will ever let her do a follow-up to this. We'll see. There's actually a couple of good quotes by Lesher in here, which is good. Again, for all of you, I know some of you have issues with Jan. I'm not saying she's perfect, but things are much better after Huck left. Just telling you, on a lot of different fronts. Not everything, but other things. Here's a Lesher quote. There are things happening, but I talk with people and they don't feel they can bring their children to their own businesses, or they're losing inventory because of a criminal activity in their business. Nothing would happen quickly enough if I was in their shoes. Oh, the 8:45 guest tomorrow for Explain the Pain is the manager of the Silver Saddle Steakhouse. Which in that one quote is, he in the Steve Christie letter op-ed, he's gone from 1,500 weekly customers to almost non-existent because of the city of Tucson's no barrier housing in the neighborhood.
Conover is not going to like the radio tomorrow.
I can see her. She's going to do she'll do like a Yelp review. I thought the Silver Saddle had tough steak. And while she's doing it on her Yelp on her phone, she'll have her photographer take a picture of it. Love it. Juan Siscomani calling from the swamp. Coming up next, Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. 5 in the morning, my boy John Wetton on a very spoiled personal birthday playlist kind of day. Tomorrow, remember, wait till you hear the Explain the Pain away. Explain the Pain with the Tucson Crime Coalition tomorrow. That is going to be a show. I told them that we should take some of that audio and cut it up and put it out there and little YouTubes and, you know, make it easy for everyone who's out there to understand what's going on. So 790-2040 is the phone number. Let's go right to the phones. Yeah, it's fun to say the words. U.S. Congressman-elect Juan Siscomani. What's up, buddy?
Sir, how are you? Good morning.
You've only been on a plane like 14 times, I think, since this whole thing's been hashed out. Good job.
I just got off one. Yeah, I took the red eye here to D.C. last night. That's just the best way to still spend time with the family on Sunday and not miss a work day here on Monday. But let me start by saying happy birthday. I'm not going to sing to you, but I am going to say
it. Suck. Come on, man. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And congratulations to you. This is the first time we've pretty much kind of talked on the air since you won this election. So good job, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We're excited about this. We worked hard for it, and we had a lot of support from many of your listeners. And I want to say thank you to all of them as well. But this is not just about representing, of course, those that voted for us. It was a close election. And I did get a call from Kirsten Engel the morning after the race was called, and she was very gracious. We had a good conversation, and we're ready to go to work. So I wanted to thank everyone out there that participated in the election, whether they voted for us or not. And I'm going to work hard to, you know, represent our district in the best way possible.
We had a beautiful moment at the Christmas party Friday, brought together by the Siskamani campaign. So Siskamani groupie Tia Gloria, right? Someone came, this nice lady named Susan, and she wanted to meet Tia Gloria. And we get a lot of requests like that at parties, right? And what happened was, this happened to be the lady that Gloria called while she was making calls for you, and the lady recognized her voice from the show while she was making,
wow.
When Tia Gloria, you know, the one time out of 300 that someone picks up the phone.
You know by experience that it's a lot of dialing. And I always tell people, I say, well, if you think this is difficult, imagine doing this and asking for money at the same time. That's when it gets really fun.
Correct.
But Tia Gloria was great. I mean, she made thousands of phone calls. And of course, Teddy put up signs for us. And so many people did so many things that I know of, but even more that I don't know of. And I want to thank everyone for that. They told a neighbor. They put up a sign. They did. They stood up a sign that was maybe down. All kinds of different things. And that helped us get across the finish line. Again, it was a close race. So when it's this close, that's when you really realize that every single vote and every single involvement matters, and it did this time around as well.
So what did Juan Siskamani learn about campaigning that he didn't know a year ago? Now that you've been through a tough congressional campaign,
yeah, it was a full time dedication, and people tell you that it's going to be full time, it's going to be difficult, it's going to be hard, you're going to put your life on hold, and you're excited, and you just want to do it, and you think you fully understand it until you are doing it, and then you understand it more. Same as being here now, you know as much as you can know without being a member yet, and then when you actually are here, it just, you know, you learn more. And in that sense, I would just say, in a broad way, everything that we thought, that I thought was going to be challenging about the campaign, was harder than I ever thought, and everything that I thought was going to be great and rewarding was better than I ever thought. My family got involved in it. I saw so many friends that I hadn't seen in a long time. We had to confront challenges that we didn't expect. It was staying nimble and staying true to yourself, and that's what we did. There were a lot of opportunities to really change, I guess, along the way, and not be who we set out to be at the beginning for opportunities or get an extra vote. But it was a constant battle to just staying true to what we believe in, and that's what we did. And not only in our belief, but also in our approach. And I wanted to stay positive the whole time. I wanted to set the truth and obviously set the record straight on things it needed to. But at the end of the day, it was about moving our community forward and staying on the offense. And that's what I think we're able to accomplish to do.
So what gauntlet of orientations have they been? Give us a rundown of what the training and the orientation has looked like since you knew you won this thing.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what I fully expected in orientation, but it's been a lot more about the procedure of having an office, the administrative side of it, not so much on, you know, how to go and file a bill or any of those things as a member, but it's more on ethics. It's how to hire. It's selecting an office, which is totally by lottery, by the way. And I finally selected my office last Friday. So we have an office officially that they're going to give to us on January 3rd at noon once we get sworn in. So a lot of procedural things, really. So you have to really pay a lot of attention, take notes, and at the same time be realizing how this applies to your district, because every single office is very different. So all members are filtering all this information with their own districts in mind, as am I.
And then I saw you hired Becky to run your office here, which is a great move.
Thank you. Yeah, Becky is local. She is a South Point grad, a soccer player at the U of A, played 4 years there. And she's been a great leader for Governor Ducey for a long time in his office. And then, of course, she ran my campaign, did a great job. And now she is the chief of staff. And one of the important things on her, not only is she local and understands the needs of the community, but the chief of staff is going to be in the district. And that's one thing that I really wanted to highlight on the press release that we sent out. Most members have their chief of staff in D.C. and for good reasons. I want to make sure that the district knows that the top person in my office is going to be right there at home, being able to be reached at any time to take care of the needs. We have a larger district now in CD6 that we did in two. We went from two counties to five counties. So it's important to do that. She built a lot of good relationships throughout the campaign with everyone around the district. And it was important to just continue this. And that's why the chief of staff, the top person in the office, is going to be in the district. And she'll travel here, lead the office here as well. But her main presence will be obviously there. Her husband has a family business and kids in school, so she's very, very much embedded in the community like I am.
No, I think she's great, and one of the things I liked about her is that she liked and is willing to hang out with Republicans, like regular old Republicans, and that's important too, right? To have the connections with the community, but the ground troops that helped you get there, sometimes they're forgotten by congressional management, and I know Becky's the perfect person not to let that happen.
No, absolutely. And that reflects obviously the priorities that we have overall. When in the primary, which is when the voters that you're mentioning show up and vote, we won that race decisively. They came out and supported us in a big way. And we've always been very grateful for that. And obviously, our priority has been that's where we come from. That, you know, I've been a PC for a while. And this is a group of people that want the best for our community. So we're definitely going to stay engaged with everyone. And that's the point of this, the Republican Party base, like you mentioned, but also everyone else that has needs in the community. Once you get elected, we are working for everyone. And that's going to be the focus, to be available for everyone, whether we agree or not. I want to make sure that we're there, that we listen, and that we provide the services that we need to for anything from passports to Social Security, any of that casework, but also in policy.
Have you hired anyone else yet for this office, or are you still working on that?
We're still working on that. One of the recommendations that they gave us in the orientation is to hire slow, and especially in the D.C. area. You know, legislative priorities, we probably won't know committee assignments until later in December or even maybe in early January. That, I think, will impact a little bit on in terms of the legislative staff that we hire here where we end up. But in terms of the district, our next announcement will be the district director, and that's coming soon.
So, of course, there's a little bit of fun with the Speaker of the House elections. How's that? Have you been having people talk to you about that, I assume, since you got there?
Yeah, that's been the talk. Of course, within the Republican caucus of selecting the leadership, we did have internal elections, and obviously they're public, and you saw those where Kevin McCarthy was overwhelmingly supported in taking the speakership role. And there, we need 118 votes for that, for sure, once we're on the floor on January 3rd, and I'm confident we're going to get there. It's like anything else, it's not an easy path. I know that I haven't had an easy path in this election, and you got to earn the votes, and I think he's done that. And I'm confident he's going to be Speaker.
All right. Well, I'm sorry you got to take a nap for 4 seconds and then go to five more meetings today. So.
No naps, my friend. No naps.
I guess you slept on a plane. So congratulations. And it's going to be nice to have a regular conversation with a U.S. congressman from Southern Arizona on the show in the future. You know, just not having...
Yeah, I can't wait, man.
Having Biggs and... I have Schweikert doing, like, constituent services for Southern Arizona. So it's going to be good you're here.
You got to appreciate these guys that get on your show and they speak to our community. But now we'll have one of our own available and eager to go to work here.
Amen. All right, man. Stay safe. And hopefully we'll see you before Christmas.
You got it. God bless. See you. Bye-bye.
Later, my friend. All right. Juan Ciscomani, U.S. Congressman-elect. Let's go to break. 790-2040. There's a Christmas tree sitting on my desk right now. I got to... It's kind of a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. It needed a little love. As Linus said. So we're going to, I brought some lights in from the house, and because Gabby did such an amazing job decorating this place, but this thing looks pathetic without lights. So we're going to do it up. So you're on the Wake Up Tucson show, Joanne DiFilippo, top of the hour. What's in the box? Wake up. One of my favorites off of Momentary Lapse of Reason. Could be this whole show, this whole town wrapped up in that song. on the Turning Away. Welcome back to Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We got DeFilippo coming up at the top of the hour, and then our friend Grant Kruger, Union Hospitality, will be in studio to talk about a billboard project that will not make Sun Devil fans happy. Hey, Matt, what's going on? What's the deal with that Pima County Sheriff's Department? I mean, like, and what's going on at the Pima County Adult Complex? So we had corrections officers were serving paperwork to an inmate.
Correct.
Who then attacked them.
Correct. So he attacked one male officer.
Right.
And so the partner who went with him came to his assistance, and she was strangled. She was choked to the point that she lost consciousness for 24 minutes.
Now, what's interesting about this, and you sent me the kind of the compare contrast with the Dead Star, all right? So K-Gun 9 did the same thing in their story. So what
they did.
Did Val Cavazos doing a story about strangulation, like they didn't want to say the word strangle somebody? So, what am I missing here?
Sure, I guess. Well, and let's set it up. So first of all.
I mean, restrain from breathing. This is how it's described in K-Gun 9.
It's strangling. Yeah.
What am I?
The verb is strangle.
Or choke, right?
Or choke.
Right? We'll accept either, as
so
we say.
So let's just finish setting it up. So the guard that was strangled was 19 years old, female, had been on the job 3 months.
Holy crap.
Chris Nanos's understaffed
19-year-old female.
Yeah.
Corrections officer.
Right.
3 months.
So not a lot of experience, right?
Well, I'm sure
to be put in a situation like that.
So Chris Nanos refusing to hire and also causing the people to quit because of his vax mandate.
And
that
the
he
board
wants
of supervisors, you know, the majority.
So what we're saying is that we put another female in Tucson in danger she probably shouldn't have been in?
That is correct. And if I can continue to elaborate on the story.
Go,
the
go.
Gentleman Gadget, was
go.
In, the gentleman.
Go Flash,
I use
go.
That term very loosely. The gentleman who was in jail for shoplifting. So when the county attorney talks about we need to get nonviolent criminals out of jail, look how quickly a person who committed shoplifting, and I'm sure there's more to it. I'm sure they don't.
But a shoplifting suspect chokes out,
escalated
a 19-year-old girl's for 24 minutes.
Yes. So shoplifting, and it escalates to attempted homicide.
Wow.
So when they talk to you about, hey, we need to get, nonviolent offenders out of jails, maybe not. Maybe not so much. So anyway, KOLD described it as choked, right? But as I said to you,
that could not have been a Bud Foster story.
I do not go to the Arizona Daily Star for my news, but it was pointed out to me by somebody who saw it.
Right.
In the Arizona Daily Star, the actions of this attempted murderer was that he restricted her airway.
Wow.
And the Star article did not talk about that she was 19 years old or only on the job, 3 months. So they soft-pedaled it. They soft-pedaled attempted murder.
Wow.
Attempted homicide, whatever the right word is.
What is going on with these people? I mean, they're really that much in the bag for the power in this community?
Right. And the Nanos Hotel es no bueno. No es bueno. It's not good over there. You have deaths. It's understaffed. You have escapes. And guards are not even safe to do their job.
And we're hiring 19-year-old girls to go. She's a girl at 19. I'm sorry. They're not getting there.
So again, hot mess there. Hot mess.
No one
and the sheriff is in charge of this.
Is anyone gonna call this guy out? I'm sure Tim Steller did 3 reports about this, I'm sure. Big columns. He's a big advocate for people who are underprivileged, or I can't even get my populations right here. I mean, it is wow. It's wow.
And then you have
When you
former workers there in the article you read on Thursday, describing it as a
constitutional hellhole. Constitutional hole, right?
Hellhole.
I mean, in the end, hey, Raheena Romero, who got COVID again, enjoy your boostedness. I hope you get through it, but I thought your vaccine was going to help you not get it. So Raheena, where are you on? You opine on everything not related to your job. Here's a 19-year-old girl who got choked out for 24 minutes and almost died. Anything? Anything from you people? Anything? Lane Santa Cruz, defender of women? Oh, that's right. You want to defend their right to kill a baby, but when it comes to their safety as a woman, yeah. Not so much. Not so much. Birthdays and holidays. Birthdays suck today. That's why it's even better that Chris is playing his own personal playlist of stuff today, because there was nothing that great today on birthdays. It's AFL-CIO Day. I like how all those rail workers are now, crapping on Biden again for the rail deal. Have we finished the rail deal? Is that done yet, or are they still farting around with that, Matt? The rail deal. Have we gotten that done? Are they still farting around with the rail workers contract?
Not sure.
Still working through Congress, sure. I think that's where we're at. National Blue Jeans Day. Right? Walt Disney Day's on my birthday, too? Ugh. Oh, World Soil Day. Perfect. Oh, it's Repeal Prohibition Day. Well, that's good. Wakeys rejoice, it's Repeal Prohibition Day. And then, of course, it's Krampusnacht, which, of course, is that scary creature that comes out the eve of St. Nicholas Day and scares the hell out of children and the good behavior. And then it's Day of the Ninja Day. So that's important. So can't beat that. So 790-2040. Gil, welcome to the show. We got about 47 seconds.
Great, Chris. I'm just out walking in this fog. It's kind of nice.
Absolutely.
Romero is fits in perfectly to my theory of if you don't know what you're doing, you don't do anything at all. And that is her and her staff in a nutshell.
So when you talk about her staff, are you talking about they do a lack of constituent services?
Oh, yes. I mean, just the fact that Romero, you never hear from her when she should be heard from.
Right, she's the classic. She's heard from when she doesn't need to be heard, and she's not heard from when she really needs to be heard. And
it's because she doesn't know what she's doing.
And she's in a town that she can get reelected again because she has a media that protects her. Right?
Oh, absolutely. She's got the name Romero, and unfortunately, that just on that fact alone, she can probably get elected.
Well, she's got a great ground game with all the unions here, too, which helps, too.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Oh, and
yeah,
$2 million of PAC money.
God, it's laughable.
Well, enjoy Tucson in the fog. It never looked ever. Pliskin Acres looks amazing in the fog.
Yeah, happy birthday, Chris.
Thanks, buddy. All right.
Bye.
Joanne DiFilippo coming up next. Forget about the P. McCranny crap. She has to answer for why she didn't make it to the Christmas party. Screw whatever's in the box. I don't care. I want reparations.